Okay? But let's look at the next scripture, verse 5. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." You know, so far in the passage, we've seen that the husband should be a provider. He should provide peace and stability. He should be the spiritual leader. He should be the protector and give safety. But you know what? That's not enough to make you a great husband. I mean, she, you know, just paying the bills, leading spiritually, protect, provide some stability, calm down, you know. That's not really everything it takes to be a good husband, is it? Because where's the love? You know, where's the fun? Where's the friendship? Where's the relationship? Where's the affection? Where are the good times? You know, being married is not just some business agreement. You know, you cook and clean and I'll pay for everything. You know, put her there. You know, that's not really the way that you propose, right? Or maybe that is how some of you propose. That's why you're still single. But marriage also is, it's a friendship. You know, in Song of Solomon, go to Song of Solomon. In Song of Solomon, she talks about her husband and she says, "This is my beloved and this is my friend." So she says, my husband is my friend. And there's an aspect of marriage that is about pleasure and about joy and friendship and having a good time and loving each other. Not just, you know, I'm doing my job as a husband. You know, you need to actually also bring some joy and happiness to your wife. And as the Bible says, cheer up your wife. Bring some cheer to her life. Now, doesn't Jesus Christ bring joy unto us?
Yeah.
You know, he gives joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And he is, the Holy Spirit is called the oil of gladness. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the Lord brings us joy. We as a husband should try to strive and bring joy to the lives of our wife and make her life enjoyable and give her pleasure and fun. What does the Bible say in Psalm 23, verse 5? You're in Song of Solomon, stay there. But in verse 5, it said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Watch this. "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Now, when I see the phrase, "my cup runneth over," you know what that is? That's extra. That's not the minimum. That's not just "I shall not want," because if I have a cup, then I shall not want. When my cup runneth over, that's something extra. That's additional blessing. You know, being anointed with oil isn't something that you need for survival. Survival is food and raiment. Let us be there with content. That's going to make us survive. But anointing our head with oil is something that is for, you know, joy, the oil of gladness. It's something that's, you know, cosmetic or something that is just for enjoyment or beauty or something that is beyond just the, you know, survival minimalistic needs of our lives. The oil and also just the cup running over and just, you know, preparing a table before me. You know, when I read that verse, I think of spreading out a picnic. Because when I think of, you know, walking through the valley of the shadow of death in the previous verse and then preparing a table before her in the presence of the enemies, you know, it's like you picture being in a valley and, you know, you make a picnic and you feel safe, you know, because thou art with me. That's what I get from this passage. So I think verse 4 shows us the aspect of giving joy and pleasure, doing something special, something above and beyond, something where the cup is running over, not just the minimum. Forget half full, half empty. You know, the running over cup of bonus. Song of Solomon. And really, we could almost turn anywhere in Song of Solomon. And we could really read the whole book of Song of Solomon and see this aspect of marriage, the joy, the fun, the excitement, the love, the friendship, the intimacy. It's all there in the book of Song of Solomon. But let's look at a few highlights from chapter 7 and 8. It was hard to pick a section, but just a few highlights. You know, verse 9 of chapter 7 says, "And the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gate are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. So here we see just a sweet, loving relationship of planning of a nice outdoor activity where they're going to go down to the fields and the villages and the vineyards, and they're going to eat fruits together, new and old, that have been specially prepared. Again, the image of a picnic kind of comes to mind. And, you know, a lot of people might think, a lot of husbands might think, man, you know, forget the cup running over. You know, I'm just trying to pay the bills. We're just scraping by. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, I've been there. I remember the early days of being married. That's how it was. And you're scraping by and you're paycheck to paycheck and you don't have money for the frills. I remember a time when I could never afford to take my wife out to eat. The times that we went out to eat was when we went with my parents and they were paying. And every Friday night, we'd go over to my parents' house and we'd go out to eat with my parents and they paid. And we would hang out at their house. And, you know, that was our out to dinner night, because we couldn't afford to go out and go out to dinner, because we were just paying the bills, just getting by. So look, God doesn't expect you to be a wealthy man to be able to just wine and dine your wife all the time and spend all this money. But, you know, this to me doesn't sound expensive. You know, preparing some fruit, preparing some things, going out on a picnic, getting outside. And by the way, a lot of people, they think that going on a date just equals out to dinner. I'm going to go on a date with my wife. It's out to dinner. I'm going to go out to date every week with my wife. It's out to dinner, out to dinner, out to dinner, out to dinner, out to dinner. And honestly, it's expensive. Going out to dinner is expensive. And it also gets boring. And it's not usually the healthiest option. Usually you can make more nutritious, better food at home. Now, my wife and I do go out to dinner on dates from time to time. But honestly, there are a lot of other nice ways to have fun and be together and make memories than just going out to eat. You know, and I'm just thinking over the course of the last few months, and I'm thinking of the most memorable fun times that I had with my wife were not out to dinner. She's like, no, it was the dinner, you know, no, but I'm, you know, I can think of all kinds of fun, exciting memories that we made, you know, going places and doing fun things. And none of the highlights were just going out to dinner and spending a bunch of money. In fact, the ones that we did that were the most fun were free or cost very little. You know, so it's not just about just blowing a bunch of money. And some people, you know, now if you have money and you can blow some money, well, women like that too, okay? But I'm not going to lie to you up here. But there are a lot of things that you can do to have, and by the way, you know, this could even go for singles that are dating and you know, basically, you don't always have to just blow a whole bunch of money. And that doesn't always impress the girl anyway, you know, because anybody can pull out, you know, their wallet and buy some expensive dinner. You know, you could be a little more creative, do something a little more memorable. You know, and you're saying, well, give me some examples. Well, you know, I'm thinking back about the dates, and, you know, a lot of them I can't really share with you. You know, it's just, it's too personal. It's too private, you know? And my wife's like, no, don't tell, you know. Some of it was illegal. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway. But it was creative, and we had fun. See me after the service. I'll tell you some ideas. But anyway, you know, we did all kinds of cool stuff and fun stuff. But honestly, you know what? You can go out, you can get outside. And you know, when you look at this, they're outside, aren't they? In Song of Solomon 7. You can get outside, and we have so many wonderful things in this area to do outside. In the winter in Phoenix, the weather's perfect every day. Beautiful weather every day. You can go hiking, you can go on a bike ride. You can go, well, we're not that athletic, or, you know, but you can still go out and have a picnic, take a walk. If you're not athletic enough for to go on a walk, you need to get more athletic, okay? If you can't even walk. But, you know, you can go out and basically, you know, spend time in the outdoors, prepare a little picnic. Same stuff you were going to eat at home, but when you chop it up and get it all ready and take it out to a scenic place, it all tastes better. because you're out in nature. You know, you can go all kinds of. Look, let me just give you some places around here. Kiwanis Park is like a mile and a half to, from my house, I think it's a mile. I think it's a couple miles from here. But Kiwanis Park has just all these beautiful trails and the little artificial lake. They have little paddle boats you can rent and pedal around the lake. Tempe Town Lake has the same thing. You've got all these bike trails. You've got all these nature trails. You've got all these hiking trails right in Phoenix. So you don't have to spend a bunch of gas money. Now, in the summer, you have to go far to be outdoors because it's so hot. But at this time of year, it's paradise. Go wherever you want. Get out there. Get outside. Have some fun. And it's good for you anyway. It's healthy anyway. You know, and be a little more creative of how to have a good time with your spouse and go out and do fun stuff. You say, well, you know, I'm poor and, you know, we can't afford a trip to the zoo. You know what the poor man's zoo is? The pet store. You go to the pet store and you just don't buy anything. Just you look at all the animals and treat it like a zoo, you know? Or we used to do that when we had tiny little kids and we were poor. We did that and they don't even know the difference. They're so little, you know, little kids. You show them all the animals and the puppy. Here's the reptile house, kids, you know? It's all Petco. It's all PetSmart or whatever, you know? And honestly, sometimes my wife and I just go to the thrift store and just go shopping together at the thrift store. You don't even have to buy anything. And if you do find something cool and you end up buying it, it's only going to cost you a couple bucks anyway. And you find all, and sometimes we just go there and laugh at stuff and just look at stuff. And, you know, look, it's our job as a husband to have some fun and bring some pleasure and joy to the lives of our spouse and not to just be this total fuddy-duddy. Yeah, I'm paying the bills. Yeah, I've got the shotgun cleaned and loaded. And yeah, you know, I'm providing stability here. Okay, but do you love your wife? You know, are you having a good time with your wife? Are you giving her any pleasure and joy and fun? That's also part of your job too, I believe. And look, Song of Solomon is filled with it. Every chapter, these type of things.